Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to let you know today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. I also want to remind you that we have another podcast started called The War, and we're right now talking about early war programs. So if you are interested in the history of World War II, I encourage you to check out thewar.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a listen to today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And then coming up later, we'll bring you the second part of our current Carter Brown serial. But now it's time for part 5 of the Midas Touch matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar, answer it. Answer it!
Johnny Dollar.
Hello, Johnny, this is Jake Kessler.
Be careful what you say.
Johnny, what are you doing out there at the Too Lazy Two? Johnny!
Talk to him, but be careful. Don't forget this gun.
Why, Jake, what's on your mind?
$3 million of insurance. Nora Haskell's filed a claim on the basis of accidental death. So unless you can come up pretty quick with proof the Haskell brothers were murdered...
Jake, I have a funny feeling I'm looking at that proof right now.
Careful.
You mean there at the ranch? You still haven't told me what you're doing out there.
Why don't you come out here and see, Jake?
What?
You fool, I told you to watch what you
what
say.
What are you talking about, Johnny?
Dollar, I'll pull this trigger so fast.
You try that door and Jake will hear it over this phone and come out here anyway.
What? Hello?
He heard that. Hang up. Hang up.
Hello?
Here, hang it up yourself.
Oh, no, you...
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location near Kingman, Arizona. Attention, Mr. Jake Kessler, Greater Southwest Insurance and Liability Company. Following is an accounting of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Midas Touch matter. Proof that the Haskell brothers were murdered rather than killed accidentally in the cave-in at the Midas Touch mine could save Greater Southwest a cool $1.5 million. But the one man who could have given me that proof was murdered himself. Thanks to Buster Favor at the Lake Mojave Resort, who could read a set of tire tracks like you and I read a newspaper, I was able to trace the killer's car to the Too Lazy Two Ranch. And there the evidence all pointed to the foreman, Alex Bundy. However, when Alex appeared at the ranch house, he also put the finger on Dora Haskell. That's when your phone call came in, Jake. And that's when...
Oh, no, you don't know!
Oh, thanks, Buster.
Yeah, well, I kind of hate to hit a woman that way, but she wouldn't have missed with that rifle. Matter of fact, she didn't. She creased her arm there just
about... Oh, forget it. First of all, let's take this gun
don't
off.
Don't touch it!
Oh, that's right, Alex. Kind of forgot about you. Now, why don't you put that thing down before you make the same mistake she almost did?
It won't be a mistake, Dollar.
Now, look, Alex.
Shut up, Buster. You should have known better than to mess around this whole thing.
Maybe you're the one who should have known better, Alex. According to Dora here a few minutes ago...
I heard her. I heard. From outside the window. Heard all of it. And she lied.
Keep an eye on her, Buster.
Yeah, sure.
Just stay where you are. Stay away from that gun of hers, too.
Look, Alex, why don't you just calm down?
She lied. She was the one who shot at you down at the lake, not me.
But it was you who shot up old Hard Luck Dennis when he tried to talk to me.
Sure. Sure I did. I had to. He was going to tell you it was me that caved in the Midas touch on the Haskell brothers.
He did tell me.
Sure, he was going to tell you. I know he was. And I had to stop him. Wouldn't you have stopped a man who was trying to put a noose around your neck?
Will you listen to me?
That's why I had to kill him there at the hospital when he was well enough to talk some more. He would have put the finger on me.
I tell you, he already had
sure
put the finger.
Sure he would. I know he would. And I had to stop him. But it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault, Dollar. She was lying to you. I heard her outside. I heard. She was trying to lay it all on me, but she's the one, not me.
In spite of your murder of Hardluck.
I had to, don't you understand me? I had to.
Look, why don't you put down that gun and listen?
She's the one all the way from the start. I'm not dumb, Dollar, but she was smarter than me, and she kept getting me in deeper and deeper. I'm a good ranch foreman, Dollar. See for yourself what I've done for the Too Lazy Two. But this kind of thing I don't know about. So she got me in deeper and deeper right from the start.
Just how did it start, Alex?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you how it started. I got drunk one night over in Kingman.
So I heard.
Made a lot of foolish talk about wanting the Too Lazy Two for myself. Any foreman wants to have a big ranch of his own. Any of them, ask him. You ask him. Isn't that true, Buster? You know.
Alex, give me that.
No, stay back. You stay back. I want him to know. I want him to know everything. She heard about what I'd said, understand? Then she came to me, sweet-talked me. Said I could own the Lazy Two. Along with her. Made it sound so wonderful, just me and her. But then when she started plotting how to get rid of her husband, well, she thought he was going to die when he came out here, but he didn't, see? So she started plotting how to get rid of him. And I was scared about that. But she told me I was already in it on account of I knew about it, so I better help her. So what else could I do? And all the time she kept me thinking how wonderful it would be, just me and her. Do you know what that means to a man, Mr. Dollar?
Well, I guess.
So I helped her with the boat. You know the time, Buster.
You mean when the Haskell sank during the windstorm out on the lake?
Yeah, because I fixed the boat. I took out the flotation tanks and weakened the transom, so any kind of strain it would sink, and it did.
Brother, you're in so deep.
But you went after him. You saved him, didn't you, Buster?
Yeah, I guess I did.
So, but then I wasn't too deep, you see? You understand?
Yeah, Alex, I understand. And I'm afraid that you're...
But she thought of the mine. She made me tell old Hardluck to take him out to the Midas Touch because he thought there was still gold in it.
Johnny, did Hardluck tell you that Dora got him started on that pit?
No, nobody would have. That's why I had to kill him. Because he would have blamed her, and then she would have blamed me, the way she did you just now, don't you see? All she was doing was using me. You didn't come out here looking for her. You were looking for me, weren't you?
Yeah, Alex, I guess we were.
And if there'd been a fight, if I tried to gun you down, she would have killed me. Then she would have been in the clear, don't you see? She would have killed me the way she made me kill Hardluck.
It took you a long, long time to realize it, didn't it, Alex? There were a lot of things you didn't realize. But what's done is done, and you can't ever change it. You're in so deep, there's no way out for you now. And you know it, Alex. But you're not going to make things any easier for yourself.
No, you... get back, I tell you. I'm in so deep, I can't get in any deeper. That's what you really mean, isn't it? So my only chance is to kill you and try to get away with it.
Alex,
now,
listen.
Look, boy.
But before I try it, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her because of what she's done to me.
Listen, you crazy, mixed-up guy.
Sure! Maybe I am crazy. Maybe I've been crazy all along, but I'm going to kill her. You hear me? I'm going to kill her now.
Oh, no, you're not...
Dora!
Grab her gun, Buster.
Look out, Johnny!
Okay, Alex. Okay, you've done it. Added one more murder to your list.
And I'm glad. I'm glad I did it.
Then put that gun down and listen to me.
No, I'm gone. If you try to follow me, I'll kill you too!
Come on, Johnny. I've got her gun.
No good. It's jammed. That's why she couldn't pull it on him.
Is she dead?
Yeah.
We can't just let him get away.
Oh. Here, Buster, while I make a phone call, see if you can find a gun for yourself and some ammunition.
You sure she's dead?
Yes. Hello, operator.
Couple of 38 handguns here, Johnny.
And find some ammo. Operator. Operator, get me Kingman 19970, emergency.
All set with his sidearm, Johnny. You want a rifle or do you...
Jake, Alex Bundy has killed Dora Haskell and headed for parts unknown. Yeah, that's right. Call Tad Harding at headquarters. Have him put a roadblock on every highway leading from this ranch. Be sure there's a block at Davis Dam so he can't cross over into Nevada. Yes, that's right. He can phone him. By the time I hung up, Buster had my rented car started and waiting, so he took off on the main road leading from the ranch. We could still see the dust left by Alex Bundy in the Jeep. Could see that when he swung onto the highway, he'd turned right toward Lake Mojave. We saw no dust on any of the side roads, so we kept on going down toward Davis Dam, hoping that by the time he could get there, the roadblock would be set up.
We'll be able to see when we get to the top of this hill, Johnny.
Good.
Yeah. There, you see him? Cars across the road over the dam.
That means he will have seen them.
Then there's only one place he could go.
Lake Mojave Resort.
Right. Dan is just up ahead.
All right, we'll take it on two wheels.
Glad we aren't having to track them this time.
Huh?
Wind's coming up. See the dust blowing off the mesas up the east?
Yeah.
When that east wind comes up, it comes up fast.
All right, hang on. Here's our turn. Buster was right. By the time we got down to the dock at Lake Mojave, the wind was blowing a gale. The chief we'd been chasing was parked next to the tackle shop, and no sign of Alex Bundy. We learned the reason from Ham Pratt, general manager of the resort.
Hey, Johnny, Buster, what's going on here?
Plenty, Ham.
Listen, Ham, did you see what...
Alex Bundy came down the road like a bat out of Hades a couple of minutes ago.
Where'd he go?
Jumped out of his Jeep, waving a rifle, tore down to the dock, and took off in his outboard runabout.
Got a boat for us, Buster?
Yeah, sure have. Come on.
You want me along?
No, two of us is better, Ham. We'll need all the speed we can get out on that lake.
You're right. That boat of Alex's is the fastest one of the lot. 230 horsepower Johnson's.
Here we are. Climb in, Johnny. Cast us off, Ham.
Right, Charles. Fire her up.
Here we go.
Boy, this wind is really coming up.
Sure is. We're going to have us a rough ride.
Where would he head?
Cottonwood Landing, about 20 miles up. Or even Nelson's Landing, if he has enough gas. Either way, get over into Nevada.
All I hope is he's having as rough a time of it as we are.
Don't worry. He is. That boat of his is fast, but not as seaworthy as this. Hang on. Out here in the middle is where we'll really get this wind.
And we did. And unlike salt water, where the wind builds up long swells that you have a chance of riding over, this lake developed a chop. Waves only 3 or 4 feet high, but one on top of the other. With a less skillful hand than Buster's at the wheel, we would have swamped in a minute. As it was, we were both soaking wet and hanging on for dear life as the little outboard pounced and bounded along.
Look, Johnny, dead ahead.
Yeah, I see him. Hey, he's making an awful lot of speed.
Too much speed for that hull of his in this kind of weather. He'll pound the bottom out of it.
What do you think you're doing to this boat?
Oh, this'll hold together all right.
It was a mad chase, a crazy one. And then I noticed that we were slowly but surely gaining on Alex.
I knew he couldn't take it in that hull. See? He's had to slow down.
Gradually, the distance between us grew shorter, 200 yards, 100. At least he'd never be able to aim his rifle in a sea like this. At least until we got right on top of him.
Keep your gun on him, Johnny. It's going to be rough trying to lash onto him in this chop.
Okay. When you pull us alongside him... Then it happened. As we came up on him, Alex suddenly swung his boat straight in at us and gunned his two motors wide open.
Hey! Look out!
That's really all there is to it. Oh, except that Ham Pratt, bless his heart, had followed us with an outboard cruiser and picked us up. Alex... Well, the shock of crashing into us must have wedged him into his boat. And with the bottom of it torn out, it sank like a rock, and he went along with it. Expense account total, including transportation back to Hartford, $978.35. Remarks? There was no question, of course, but that the Haskell brothers had been murdered. No double indemnity. And Dora's little scheme to collect a cool $3 million? Well, it got her exactly what she deserved. Won't people like that ever learn? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, a quiet little New England town with elm-shaded streets, picket fences, flower beds, and a killer on the loose. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Heard in this week's cast were Virginia Gregg, Johnny Jacobs, Herb Butterfield, Parley Bear, Barney Phillips, Shep Mencken, and Roland Winters. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino and Carl Fortina. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, I've had issues with the Jack Johnstone written stories, but this one was actually pretty good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Some good twist. I think only one real convenient plot contrivance with that guy following them on the boat out there. But other than that, I thought this was really good. The ending was surprising, particularly with her and Alex being accomplices. And I love just the rich and vivid detail that was given to the area. It's the type of narration that makes a setting come alive in a radio show. And I heard the name of Roland Winters in the credits. And Winters was probably best remembered, at least best known by me, for playing Charlie Chan in the final six of the Golden Age Charlie Chan mystery movies, succeeding Sidney Toler in the role. These, of course, were the Monogram Picture Charlie Chan film, so not perhaps as well remembered. Now it's time for Kudos for Con Part 2.
Carter Brown Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense. Based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
As I waited for the little guy, Kaplan, to come back, I couldn't help speculating on what it was that he'd promised to hold on to for the dead Carl Duisberg. Whatever it was, it promised a lead for me to Duisberg's wife, Helen, whom her sister Diane Clutterbuck had hired me to find. And Clutterbuck had come just in time, because Joe Kahn, private detective, and his secretary, Daisy, were minus credit, cash, or clients. I was just finishing a cigarette as Kaplan came back.
Here you are, Mr. Kahn. I haven't liked holding onto a dead man's property, but since I'd promised Carl...
Sure, Mr. Kaplan, I understand.
Now my wife can stop worrying. The parcel is delivered and we're finished with it. Tell his wife from me, Mr. Kahn, that Carl was a great guy.
Sure, Mr. Kaplan, I'll be happy to. That accident was a terrible thing.
Terrible. And the truck driver never stopped. I don't know how we could have that on his conscience.
Yeah.
Poor Carl. He must have been careless. He had something on his mind, you know. He was worried the last 3 weeks before he died.
Worried, huh? He never mentioned what was worrying him.
No, he never said anything, but I could tell. He didn't have his mind on his job.
Or on where he was going, I guess. Hence the truck.
I suppose so. Well, I'm glad you came, Mr. Kahn. That parcel's been on my mind all the time.
It was on my mind, too, every second of the way back to my apartment. When I got inside the door, I opened it. It contained a note and a silver box. I read the note first. Dear Helen, you won't be reading this unless the worst has happened. I know that sooner or later you will think of Kaplan and ask him if I left anything with him for you. He is the only person I can trust. I thought it was safer to do it this way. If they try and force you to tell them where it is, you won't know. Do whatever you think best, darling. Goodbye, Carl. Then I opened the box and nearly fainted, because the box was brimful of dough, tightly wrapped wads of high-denomination notes. When I finished counting, I got another shock. There was just under $200,000, but where it had come from or what it meant was a mystery. I got rid of the wrapping paper and shoved the box in a drawer. Then I picked up the phone and dialed the office.
Kahn Detective Agency.
Daisy.
Well, well, the boss himself. When are we going to be honored with your presence in the office?
Later. First, I've got a proposition to make to you, Daisy.
Oh, goody, goody. I'd given up hope.
Not that kind of proposition. How'd you like another job?
You can't fire me till you've paid my back salary.
Now, I wasn't thinking of firing you. I want you to help me on this case.
Oh, that's different. What do you want me to do?
Get a job at that nightclub, the Casbar.
What doing?
Well, how do I know? But you're always busy displaying your legs around the office. Maybe the Casbar will pay you for doing it.
Okay, I'll try.
That's my girl.
I wish I were.
Now, let's stick to business. Speaking of which, anything new around the place?
Well, there was a dame came in. But she didn't look exactly new to me.
What did she want?
To see you. There was a guy with her. Lean Latin type.
Did they say why they wanted me?
No. But let me warn you, boss, in case she comes back.
Oh?
She looks like a lady to stay away from in the clinches.
Thanks for the tip, Daisy. I'll keep it in mind. Callers. Yeah?
Mr. Khan? Forgive the intrusion, but it is important that we speak to you, if we may.
Sure, come in.
Permit me to introduce myself. I'm Earl Cortez, and this is my sister, Ines.
Hi.
How do you do, Mr. Khan? We called at your office earlier, but your secretary, is it, told us you are not in.
Oh, that was you, was it?
So we thought we would try your apartment. You will be wondering about the purpose of our visit, Mr. Khan, so perhaps it is best if I come straight to the point. You have been hired by Diane Clutterbuck to find a woman, Helen Duisberg, that is so?
You're telling the story.
I also particularly want to find this woman. She has something which belongs to me. Would you have any objection to accepting two clients?
It's not exactly ethical.
I will pay double the fees Diane Clutterbuck is paying you.
Sorry, no dice. I may not look as though I go in for business ethics, but I do.
I see.
Well, perhaps Mr. Khan might be more receptive to persuasion from me.
Yes, that could be so. In any case, I have another appointment. If you will excuse me. Oh, please don't trouble. I shall let myself out.
Well, can I offer you a drink, Miss Cortez, or is it too early in the day?
No drink, thank you. And I hate formality. Why don't you call me Ines?
Yeah, I'd like that.
And your name?
Joe. Exotic, isn't it?
Joe. I like it. Come and sit over here, Joe. Close to me.
Ines, I don't need asking twice.
You know, Joe, my brother Earl is a big man, a wealthy man. If you take this job for him, there will be other jobs. He will do anything for his friends. But if he doesn't like people, he can be a dangerous enemy.
How about you, Ines? Are you dangerous too?
I am like my brother. We are half Spanish, you know. I can be dangerous, Joe. I can also be nice to people I like. Very nice. And I like you, Joe. You're a hunk of man, Joe.
Yeah. And I'm gonna prove it.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, baby.
You will do this thing for her, won't you, Joe?
No.
What?
I said no. Not after one kiss, not after 100.
Oh, you.
Oh. Hey, you wield quite a wallop, baby.
It is a mistake to laugh at me, Mr. Khan. You will find that out. Remember, I told you that I could be dangerous.
She slammed the door nearly as hard as she'd slapped my face. I thought Ines wasn't kidding about being dangerous. And I thought it might be a good thing to try and find out a few things about her and her brother.
Hotel Astoria.
Miss Clutterbuck, please.
One moment.
Hello?
Miss Clutterbuck, this is Joe Khan.
Mr. Khan, you found Helen?
Not yet, but I'd like to have a talk to you if it's convenient.
Yes, of course. When?
Say, quarter of an hour?
Very well.
I'll be waiting for you in the bar.
On my way to the Astoria, I stopped up at my bank. I had the silver box with the $200,000 with me, and I hired a safe deposit box and left the money inside it. Then I mailed the safe deposit key to myself at the office by registered mail. An old gag, but effective. The bar of the Astoria had stools. On one of them, Diane Clutterbuck was seated. She had an old-fashioned drink in front of her and an old-fashioned look in her eyes.
Well, Mr. Kahn, you've arrived at last. I've been waiting here exactly 30 minutes.
Sorry I was delayed. I'll have whatever the lady's drinking, barman.
Okay.
What did you want to see me about?
Just a little information, if you have it.
What kind of information?
He drinks it.
Oh, thanks. Here, keep the change. Well, here's luck.
Are you going to tell me now what you want, Mr. Kahn?
Sure. I met some friends of yours a little while ago, Miss Clutterbuck.
What friends of mine?
Maybe they're just acquaintances. Earl and Inez Cortez.
Oh. Yes, I know them.
Earl had a proposition. You'd hired me to find Helen. He wanted me to do the same.
It's not precisely ethical, is it, Mr. Kahn, to accept two clients for the one task?
Which is why I turned his proposition down.
And then Earl left, leaving Inez behind to persuade you.
They must be friends of yours. You know their every move.
How successfully did Inez do her persuading?
Very successfully. Until she asked me outright if I'd accept Earl's offer. I told her no.
Oh. I can imagine her reaction to that.
It was drastic, to say the least.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kahn.
Well, let's skip the formality. Call me Joe.
Very well. We'll make it first names for both of us. I've always hated Clutterbuck anyway.
I'm surprised some guy hasn't tried to change it.
Between trying and succeeding is a long way, Joe.
I see. Well, to get off the personal and back to the personnel in this case, you can imagine that I'm curious, Diane.
Yes, of course.
Who is Earl Cortez?
I believe your American phrase is racketeer.
Huh?
I have a nasty feeling that Helen must have been mixed up with him at some stage or other. He seemed to know her quite well.
How did you meet him?
He was at the Casbah when I saw Mr. Mailer there.
And you don't know anything else about him or his sister?
No. Except that I have a feeling he'd make a bad enemy.
Diane, that's one feeling we have in common. I left the Astoria and headed back to the office. The door was locked, and as I opened it, I wondered what had become of Daisy. Then the phone rang, and I found out.
Joe?
Yeah?
I got the job, Joe. Starting tonight, I'm a cigarette girl at the Casbah.
Great, Daisy. I told you those legs of yours would pay off.
Since I can't work day and night, I've decided not to come into the office today.
Sure, that's okay.
I'll call you if I hear anything worth hearing.
That's the girl. Oh, Daisy.
Yeah?
Keep your eyes peeled for that man and woman who came looking for me. The guy's name is Cortez. The dame is his sister, Inez.
Oh, they found you, huh?
Yeah. You know what you said about her? You were right.
Oh, thanks. Hey, wait a minute. I said she looked like a lady to stay away from in the clinches.
That's right.
Well, the only way you could know I was right would be because...
That's right.
Why, you... You oversized apology for a wolf.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Here have I been trying all this time to clutch you in a clinch, and what do you do? Pass me up for that...
Daisy, watch your language. And watch the Cortez couple, too. They're in this thing up to their teeth, and I got a feeling those teeth can be awful sharp.
Welcome back. I have to admit, I was expecting something a little bit more dramatic than the cash, but that will definitely do for escalating the situation. We definitely have a good story on our hands, and I hope you'll be back with us next Friday as we continue on with part 3 of Kudos for Kahn. And of course, on Monday, we'll be back with another Johnny Dollar series. And coming up tomorrow, it's the lineup. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.